Everyone, this is Pam, and you're listening to an episode of the podcast, Women Who Stutter, Our Stories. As usual, I have another amazing woman here today who's going to share part of her story, and I'm really excited to meet and talk with Angelica. Hey, it's great to have you on the show today.
Hi, Pam. I'm so happy to be here. I have seen your work and your podcast, and it's great. So I'm very happy for the invitation. Thank you.
And thank you for accepting the invitation. I'm just really looking forward to hearing your story. So to get us started, could you introduce yourself, who you are, where you're from, and what keeps you busy?
Yes, sure, definitely. I am Angelica, or Angelica in Spanish. I am a person who stutters, a woman who stutters. I am from Peru, here in South America. And I am a psychologist. I'm studying to be a speech therapist at Michigan State University right now, taking the prerequisite courses. And I hope that next year I can move to Michigan and to complete my studies there. I also have a stuttering center here in South America, which is great. We work a lot with speech therapists and people, children, adolescents, and adults who stutter. And I'm also a member of STAMILY, which is a non-profit organization. And I am part of the content team.
Oh my goodness. That's busy. Oh my goodness. So when you say you have a stuttering center, do you work in that, in the center, in your capacity as a psychologist?
Yes, we have a team. When we start my clinic, we were just two. Now we are a team of 10, which has been amazing. And actually, next month, in December, we will celebrate our third anniversary, which makes me feel so happy. but yeah, I work with people who stutter. I work mainly with adolescents and adults because I am a psychologist. Someday, in a couple of years, when I am a speech therapist, I will work more with children. Now it's basically adolescents, adults, and parents too. And yeah, we work a lot of, we work a lot in acceptance, in that's my the role of my clinic, because as you know, a lot of the treatment here, or around the world, is to accept ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's to live freely, to live fully, and to do everything what we want to do, no matter if we stutter or not. So that's the way my clinic works. I have an amazing team that I'm very proud of. I couldn't do it alone. I need them. And yeah, we are very, very happy of celebrating 3 years. It's been crazy.
Congratulations. What a milestone, and something to be so proud of. That's really wonderful.
Yeah. I'm very happy. Actually, when I started my clinic, I was still at university. And it was crazy. And of course, at that moment, I only used to work on the administrative side, doing basically everything, the designing, the website, the Facebook, the social media in general, the accounted part. It was like basically me doing everything, because this is how it is when you start a company. But well, now we are 10, so now I have more freedom to do other things, which is great. But yeah, I'm very happy for it. I was planning what to do for the 3 years, and actually I feel it like my birthday or something like that. For Christmas is like a very important day to me.
Yeah. And it really makes me happy to hear that a psychologist is working with people who stutter, because oftentimes, you know, psychology and speech language pathology are separated. And it's often, you know, speech therapists work on the mechanics of stuttering and trying to help people, you know, with tools and techniques to become fluent. But as we know, you know, the majority of the complexity of stuttering is all that stuff underneath, the iceberg, if you will. And that's actually, in my opinion, the more important stuff that leads to the acceptance that you just spoke of. So it's just wonderful to hear that there's like an interdisciplinary approach.
Yeah, definitely. Psychology, or I mean, working in the psychological aspect was a very important part when I decided to start my clinic. Because, and actually, for example, many of my team are psychologists. I'm not the only one. Like half of them are both psychologists and a speech therapist, because I wanted this holistic approach. As I always explain to my clients, it doesn't matter if I teach you 100 of tools of techniques, if every time you will use it, you will feel shame, you will feel sad, you will feel frustrated. I want you to live fully. I want you to decide if you use it or not, to speak with confidence. So the focus we have, and I know that it's the same you have, is not just the techniques, because not the way they will live fully in the long term. In the short term, they will be happy, but that's not what we want. We want real change. For that reason, we need to work a lot on the psychological aspect. And that's key. It's like basic.
Right. And you know, the key part also, I'm going to say it again, it's just wonderful to see the two disciplines working together, because, you know, if the psychological components are not addressed, just as you said, you know, people can do, you know, everything that the therapist wants them to do in the clinic room, but when they leave and go out into the real world, they have difficulty transferring it over. And I know that some people, I've talked to people who then say they felt like they failed, you know. So if you're dealing with the psychological aspects, hopefully, you know, that fear of failure can be reduced or eliminated, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And as I always say, when I teach courses, or when I speak in events, we need to be very honest with our clients. Mm-hmm. We can't promise that speech techniques are going to cure them or are going to leave them. We need to be honest. Right. And we need to explain that speech tools, speech techniques are not perfect. They are going to work sometimes, but not all that time. And that's very, very important to explain it, because otherwise they will think that, I mean, they will be cured or they will eliminate their suffering, but no one can promise that. So I always try to give the message of be honest with your clients of what you can do and what you can't do. Right. That's also very, very important, because otherwise they can tell that it's their fault.
Right.
And actually it's not their fault. It's the fault of the specialist that didn't explain. So it's very important to be like very honest and to explain why is this technique, why you teach them, but also the limitation that it could have.
Right. So what drew you into the field of psychology? Why did you want to become a psychologist?
Well, when I was a child, I used to have a lot of trouble for my stuttering. So my parents took me to different psychologists at the beginning. I went to many. and I found it interesting. And then I remember, I mean, and since I was, I don't know, 13 or something like that, I was sure that I wanted to work with something related to speech, to the tutoring, but I thought that it was only psychology the only way, because I always have attended only psychologists. But then my mom told me, oh, there are some speech therapists, maybe they can help you. So then I visit other speech therapists, but they did all things in therapy, like things that didn't actually help me. Like they used to try to control, eliminate my stuttering. And I feel worse than I was with the psychologist. So in that moment, I was like, okay, psychological things are important, because I don't want to feel like I have to eliminate something. I want to feel good. Mm-hmm. But also, and I mean, that was a big part of this, of why I decided to study psychology, but also because here in Peru, things are very different. It's not like the USA, for example, that I think almost all the universities there have different masters or under the degrees in speech therapy, something like that. Here in Peru, we only have like 3 under degrees in the whole country and only 1 master's degree in the whole country in speech therapy. Wow. Yeah. So the options were very limited. So, and I wasn't very sure if that was the way that I wanted to take. So I thought, okay, I think it would be better if I do my undergraduate in psychology and then my master's abroad in speech therapy. Mm-hmm. And I also wanted in that way so I could have this holistic approach, you know, to work like well in both. And that's why I studied psychology. I finished a couple of years ago. And this year I started the prerequisite courses. So I hope the next year I can move. That's my plan if everything keeps well.
So, and you want to become, you want to do it completely so that you're a licensed speech therapist?
Yeah. I really want to be a speech therapist. And also because, I mean, I love my job as a psychologist, but I feel some limitation in my work with people who stutter, because I can't teach techniques. I mean, I know all the techniques, but it's not my field. So It's not correct if I work on that. So I feel very limited. Or for example, with preschool children, it's very, you know, complicated to work with them just as a psychologist in a stuttering. I work a lot with the parents, help them to accept the stuttering of their children. But just with the children, I wanted to be a speech therapist first. Mm-hmm. So that's why when I teach or when I talk, it's mainly stuttering in general, you know, the basic concept. But for example, I never talk about the techniques, even though if I know all of them, because it's part of my clinic every day. So it's like, well, but someday in a couple of years, I will be talking fully about it.
Yeah, I know it's very important for any professional to only practice within the scope of their practice, because you can get in a lot of trouble if you advise somebody and then it turns out to be wrong, or and I'm sure, as the first rule of thumb is first do no harm. And we want to make sure that, our efforts are being, are helpful and supportive and not, making the situation worse. So you mentioned preschool children. Do you find that the parents look to you to fix their child's stuttering?
I'm also very, very clear with them. I think honesty is key, and be as honest as you can. For example, I have heard many times parents coming to my clinic saying things like, I have heard that as soon my child goes to therapy, the more likely, it's more likely that they could stop stuttering or something like that. And I am like, yes, but no, because it's not like the speech therapists have the magic wand and they can do that. They accept her. It's a lot of the child by itself. A lot of how is the child's brain, the genetics. There are a lot of things. It's not only the speech therapist. And for example, I don't like to see those things on social media like, come to the speech therapy because as soon as you go, it's more likely that your child will stop doing that. And it's like, that's not exactly true. So we work a lot, as I was saying, just be honest and explain where the limitations are. It's like, yeah, that could happen, but it's not exactly for the speech therapist. It's more for the child.
Right.
So we try to restrain that a lot. And well, many of the times they like to see the director of the clinic who stutters because they say, oh, but you are doing well, that you're talking good for us. I want my child to do that someday. And I'm not the superwoman. If I can do it, it's like, I'm just normal. So he can do those things if you want to someday. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I feel that being a person who stutters, being a woman who stutters have helped me a lot in that way in my job, because I can also use a lot of my personal experience. Of course, not all the time, because the therapy is not about me,
right.
but time to time, just to mention some things that I have experienced, those things can help them a lot. So that's something that I found very interesting and very pleased to. And I could never imagine that I could be happy of being a person who stutters, because I don't know, my old 50 years old me would be, I don't know, like, what? Are you happy? Because in the past, I couldn't see those things. But now that is everything different, I'm very happy for this. And it's like, I mean, I'm happy that I am a person with stutters because I can work better. So it's great.
Yeah, and it sounds like from what you're describing that people see you as a role model. You know, like perhaps, you know, those parents that you said, you know, took a step back and say, see, she's successful, you know, so you can do it too. So, you know, it sounds like they view you as a role model. And that's really important. I mean, it might sound like uncomfortable, you know, we don't want to feel like, you know, like we're up on some pedestal. But I know that when I was a kid, if I had met an adult who stuttered, it would have made such a difference for me in how I felt about myself, the shame that I was carrying around, the isolation that I felt, like, oh my gosh, I'm the only one. So meeting adult, particularly somebody very successful, just, I think, would have shaped my childhood and my young adulthood in a very different path. You know, do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's very helpful for the children. It's very helpful for the parents. It can help in many ways, like just meeting other people who stutter in general. It's like adults is great because they can see like a future. But like when they meet other children too, when they met, I don't know, or when they meet 5 years old children saying, it's okay to stutter. It's like, oh, if he that has the same age that me can say that, like, okay, I can say that too. Like they feel it that way. So meeting people who stutter, other people who stutter, it's great. Like it's part of our therapy too, is like group sessions is something that we do all the time too. And yeah, it can really improve life, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah, and I think, you know, as adults and as professionals who stutter, we're putting ourselves out there every time we open our mouth and speak. And I think because we're being vulnerable, that says a lot to the listener that I, you know, like, oh, I can be vulnerable too. I can share something about myself that, you know, maybe that I don't like or that I wish I didn't have. And you know, I kind of like being able to help people see that, you know, because we all have something that we don't like. And if you can help people reframe it so that they don't see it as a negative, you know, I think that goes a long way for us helping others, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's very gray, like in different ways, that the ways that you were mentioning. And as you were saying, showing vulnerability is a very good thing. Like, because every people struggle with something. Mm-hmm. And showing that, telling about us, not only the good part, but also the part that is difficult, is very important too. It's important both. And I always say to my clients too, I'm not a superhero. I still have some difficulties sometimes with some things in some situations, but I'm good. But it's fine. It's part of life. Mm-hmm. And again, just be honest and talk about the things that could happen. I always try to share the message of, apart from being honest, like to explain to clients that life can be cruel sometimes. Like they could meet some people that will say some bad comments. It's not like they went to therapy and the world will be magic one day. It's not like that, that they could meet people. So we need to prepare them for that. We can't say, yeah, you will never experience that. You will never, because now you are, no, because they can experience bad situations. And feeling bad for that is also okay. It's normal too. We are humans, we are not superheroes. So feeling sad sometimes is part of being a person, is part of being human. So that's another message that I always try to share, because I really don't like when I see, I don't know, some sessions or clients saying, well, my other speech therapist told me that I will be happy if I do this. And it's like, and so again, just being honest, and because life is the way it is, it's complicated sometimes. So being honest, it's a key, it's that key.
Mm-hmm. I so totally agree with you. And years ago, I used to visit middle schools and talk to kids like about bullying and teasing, and of course using stuttering as my example, because that's my platform. And one of the things that you just said, I used to remind students, we're all different, you know, some of us are short, some of us are tall, some of us wear glasses, middle school kids, especially, they're mean, you know, and they make fun of each other. So I remember one of the things that I had, suggested to kids is, have a comeback line, if somebody makes fun of you, calls you four eyes, have a comeback line like, oh, are you jealous? Something like that. And for kids who stutter, I've suggested to them, I use the example when I've been made fun of, I've said something like, hey, I stutter, what are you good at? And when you turn it around like that, and kids can see that they then have some power and control, it makes them see things differently. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a lot of feel empowerment. It's like, this is my way to talk. If you don't like it, it's not my problem. It's your problem. So yeah, absolutely. And bullying is like a good example, because of course, no one likes to be bullied. No one, and that's completely understandable. Bullying can make us feel sad, frustrated, and different emotions. But those emotions are completely valid too. But even though they are valid and they are understandable, we can do something. And the things that you were mentioning are some of the things we can do, absolutely. And yeah, just a lot of our work, I mean, in talking in general, as any professional that works in this field, is to empower the children, empower the parents, empower the teenager, the adult, empower all of them, because they are not doing something wrong. They are just talking in a different way, and different for them, because for us, this is our normal way to talk. So different for them. Right. Yeah, it's like, that's normal to us. Yes. And if some people don't like it, well, that's not our business. It's their business. It's right. Not that we have something bad. It's there that they have something bad, because they can't ask diversity. So that's also something that I always mention to my clients. It's like, the problem is not you. The problem is them. The problem is the society that sometimes puts some barriers and limitations. But the problem will never be you, because you are not doing something wrong. You are just talking. You are just being you, being yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's also very important to remember. And I know that, I mean, at the beginning, it's not easy, because when they come, all they want is to stop talking in this way. And that's, again, that's completely understandable. Stuttering is something that made them feel bad, that made them feel different. But once they can feel this empowerment, their life can change. And that's what we want. Yeah, for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah, yeah. I've had the experience where I've heard people say things like, oh my God, I stuttered so badly today. Or, you know, I'm having a bad speech day. And sometimes I have said, you know, well, you shouldn't look at that as, you know, you stuttered badly, you know, you stuttered well, you know, because we've been doing it our whole life. We're good at it, you know, and when you say that to somebody else with a smile and you've reframed that, it's hard. I mean, it's hard for it to still become a negative, because you're turning it around and saying, I'm really good at stuttering. I've done it for a number of years, you know, and people have thought like, what is she talking about? That's crazy. But it's not really, because when we own it, of course I'm good at it. I've done it for, you know, since I was 5 years old.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And there's a phrase that I really like. I don't remember, like, I really don't remember when I read it or listening, because I always put the quotes, but I don't remember when I listen or read it. But it's something like, the people will react to your stuttering in the same way that you do. So if you show that you are empowered, that you are fine with it, that you are great, that it's just a characteristic of your speech, the people will react in the same way. And that's also very important, and another very important message that we need to send to people. Like, you need to feel good with yourself. And I mean, it's possible. It's something that is completely achievable. So it's something that we definitely work in therapy. And I mean, as a psychologist, there are a lot of different approaches people you can use. That's what I like about psychology. It's like, there are different ways to work with people who stutter, and the clinician just can pick the ones that fits with that person. For example, I use a lot of acceptance and commitment therapy. Since I heard that name, I was like, acceptance and commitment therapy. And what people who stutter need? Acceptance. So this approach is great. So that's one of the ones I use more. But there are others that I use too. And there are a lot of different approaches, and we can help people who stutter in different ways. Mm-hmm. That's very mm-hmm. important.
Now, do you see a lot of men who stutter?
Yeah. But for example, now, for some reason, now that I think about it, the proportion of my clients right now, it's like half and half. Usually there are, I mean, in general, we both know that there are more men who stutter than girls who stutter. But in my practice, I work with the same, well, right now, I think it's coincidence, but now it's just the same.
Mm-hmm. You know, because the reason that I asked is that, you know, I have experience from going to support groups and whatnot. Number one, of course, like I'm in the minority. There might be 12 men at the group and then one woman, you know, or two. But I have often sensed that men are more solution focused and they are looking to help somebody, I mean, have somebody help them be fluent. Whereas women tend to be more emotive and want to talk about the experience of stuttering and how they feel. And I was just curious if you've encountered that with male clients, like, do you see that difference?
What I have seen that I feel more frequent is that, and I mean, this is something that happened with me, is that I am a woman who stutters and I have a clinic. So I am like more in the spotlight because I need to talk in courses, in conferences. And I have some experiences that if I were a man, I couldn't, or I definitely don't experience that. For example, I don't know, a couple of months ago, a guy texted me and he says things like, it's good to know that you are not just a nice face. And I was like, what? If I were a man, I'm sure that I would never receive that message, but I am a woman. So I received those kind of messages. And I am like, why you judge how I look? Just what I talk. I mean, or focus on my message, focus on this sense or doses. Why I need to listen comments of my physical appearance. I don't want that. And there are those things that happen. And I'm sure that is for being a woman. Because if I were a man, I didn't think that that could happen frequently. So yeah, I feel it more in that way, that difference of being a woman and being a man who stutters. And particularly with me, because I talk in events. So it's, yeah, and it's not nice, absolutely. But well, it's like, okay, as I was saying, that's not my problem, it's their problem. And I just try to ignore that, of course, but it's like, I mean, that's me. Could happen that other girls could not feel well receiving that comment. And I mean, I don't either, but I try to ignore that. But yeah, I feel that difference more in that way, because my personal experience, of course.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my goodness, I feel like we could talk forever because you just have so much to offer. But before we end, I just wanted to ask one more question. Do you find it's helpful to be bilingual?
Oh yeah, absolutely. At the beginning it was completely difficult. I used to hate my English lessons. Just to me, to say present in English, my lesson in Peru, like the letter P was a huge thing. And I was like, why in English need to start with P? I mean, in Spanish it's the same, but I feel more different than English. And I remember the first time that I went to the USA for a long time, I stayed in New York for 1 month. I couldn't talk in English. And I returned to my country talking less because I used to avoid talking because it was so hard to talk in English. But now with practice, with time, a lot of things like that, I'm so happy that I can speak English because this allowed me to connect with amazing people around the world, allowed me to study my master's in another country that I never expected 10 years ago. So yeah, and as I always say, it's fine if we are people who stutter, and it's fine if we have insecurities about stuttering in other languages, but it's definitely something that we can do. And stuttering doesn't have to stop us from doing that. We can speak as many languages we want, and our stuttering doesn't have to stop.
Wow. Wonderful. And like, what a wonderful way to end our conversation. Angelica, thank you so much for being here today, for sharing. And I'm so glad I invited you and that you said yes.
I'm so happy. I really enjoyed this conversation. Time flies. It's been like 30 minutes or more already. Time flies. So thank you. And congrats for the great job.
Thank you. And this has been Women Who Stutter, Our Stories.